in the process of Krishna consciousness unitedly, cooperatively and constructively. So I thank all of you for being part of this wonderful gift, receiving the gift of Srila Prabhupada. It is my honor to serve in a small way. So today we will just briefly enumerate the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has specifically appeared on this planet with a specific mission and strategy. He has come to deliver all the fallen conditioned souls. And therefore his means of worshipping Krishna is very relevant. At the same time, his means of spreading Krishna or giving Krishna to others is very, very meaningful. So, we will just go through some pastimes still very briefly over, have an overview of all the leelas of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So today the theme of discussion is that what did Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu want from, or what did he want to give and what we can receive from him, what he came to give, what we can receive from him and how we can receive from him. So it's very important if something is being distributed, we should know what is being distributed, where it is being distributed and how to access what is being distributed. So if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to unlock the wealth of love of Krishna, very important to understand what is that love of Krishna, why we should have it, how he is distributing and how he wants us to receive. So these are the things that we will try to understand through these beautiful pastimes. And therefore when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or when he appeared on this planet Earth, his appearance itself was very instructive. He appeared in the house of Sri Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Mata. And amidst supposedly lunar eclipse, that the moon, which was a full moon, was eclipsed by Rahu. But then when the astrological calculations are being considered, it is considered the most auspicious constellation. So astrologically it was the most auspicious constellation, but visibly it was the most inauspicious constellation or inauspicious occasion. The Chandra Grahan. And what happens when there is a Chandra Grahan? People immediately purify themselves because of the contamination of the atmosphere created by the eclipse of the moon. So, when Nimai appeared, everyone, by custom, they went to bathe in the Ganges. It is said all the Hindus, they went to bathe in the Ganges, they went there and they were chanting the names of Krishna and Hari. So, mentioned that very, very specifically that as Hindus were chanting the name of Hari and Krishna, the Yamanas, the Muslims, they were making fun of it. That means they were trying to poke some humor. But nevertheless, they also imitated the names of the chanting as the Hindus were chanting. So all of them chanted. So from the appearance of Mahaprabhu, it was destined that whether one is Hindu or Muslim, everyone has to chant Hare Krishna. There is no escape from the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So there might be many people who want to escape the mercy of Mahaprabhu, but if the devotees are witty and they are they have a presence of mind, they can actually make Mahaprabhu's gift available to everyone. So under the pretext of inauspiciousness, Mahaprabhu distributed the first installment of Krishna Prem. And therefore this is the first lesson, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu created a condition by which people will be able to accept the holy name of Krishna. So sometimes people say this age is so contaminated. This age is so full of inebrieties. This age is full of immorality, indecency. But then, the more the contamination of this age, the more the possibility of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy to be accessed. So more there is imbalance of values. In fact, Srila Prabhupada mentions this in his first purpose of ISKCON, to check the imbalance of values in society at large. And then to present Krishna consciousness in such a way that we can check this imbalance of values in society with the system or with the process of bhakti. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared with a strategy, with a mission to distribute. And thereafter, in fact, Srila Prabhupada also accepted the same way. In fact, when the Brahmanas were chanting mantras in the Vrindavan opening temple, Srila Prabhupada had devotees to chant in the background the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So Prabhupada said, this is the real installation ceremony. How flexible Srila Prabhupada made to access Krishna. That didn't mean that he compromised the principles of spirituality. He made it more accessible. He made it more accommodative. So, the whole process of Krishna consciousness as espoused by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is to accommodate everyone within the realm of bhakti. There is no scope of rigidity or inflexibility in respect to accepting people in the fold of bhakti. And therefore, wherever or whatever level that person is, that person should be compassionately accepted within the fold of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's compassion. And therefore, it is Srila Prabhupada who actually went to the West, did not consider any kind of auspicious or inauspiciousness. He actually went to the most inauspicious situation in the whole world, and that was New York. You don't have to have a Chandra Grahan to make situation inauspicious. The situation within New York is enough inauspicious, as equivalent to a Chandra Grahan. That means every day, every moment you may have to bathe. I'll carry Ganga Jal, right? In fact, Gandhiji, when he went to United Kingdom, London, he actually carried Ganga Jal. And I presume one of the king of Jaipur, when he was visiting London that time, he carried a silver huge pot of Ganga Jal. Because he knew he was going to a contaminated place like London. Right? Therefore, Srila Prabhupada did not go to New York with the hopes that there are so nice tall buildings, there are so nice clean roads, governance, inebrieties, everything is so polished. The concern was not to see or to appreciate the kind of external or superficiality of the inauspiciousness of New York, but rather it was to appreciate how will Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's compassion be distributed in New York. Therefore, when he went to New York, one of the first reporters asked that, what do you think when you came to New York? He said, actually, I don't like to be in this place. It is not something wonderful. I miss my rooms in Vrindavan temple. Anyways, I have come on the order of my spiritual master, and therefore I am here. So therefore, this has to be understood, that all inauspiciousness can be warded off simply by spreading the glories and the chanting of holy name of Krishna. More powerful than Ganga Jal too. Right? And therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thereafter, he grew up inducing everyone to chant, and thereafter he started to learn. Then he went to the school. Same leela that we do. But now we understand what is the difference between the Lord's Leela and our Leela. And therefore we do not misunderstand the position of Lord while trying to understand his activities. It is very easy to misunderstand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What to speak of a great soul who has the compassion of the Lord. So he started to learn Sanskrit grammar. This is the first lesson that he learned. Right? And what is the difference between our school going and Lord's school going? We learn English grammar. Right? And the only fact is that it takes 12 years to perfect Sanskrit grammar. That means by the age when the child is 17 years old, the child has mastered Sanskrit. And after mastering Sanskrit, he has mastered all the Vedic scriptures in terms of accessing them. Now the whole wealth of knowledge has been accessed, made accessible. So therefore, in fact, even hard to believe that there are 5 villages in India which only speak Sanskrit. Right? We should not be surprised. Only 5 villages. In fact, the whole land of India was like this. Navadvip was the center of learning. Everyone was used to come to Navadvip to learn Sanskrit. It was a university. And therefore, what is the benefit of learning Sanskrit? Prabhupada was telling to his devotees in Dallas, Gurukul, that all the children must know how to recite Sanskrit. Even though if they are in the Western world, he wanted his disciples to nevertheless learn even basic Sanskrit. That would help them appreciate what they were accepting. So, even the acceptance has to come in a mode that is favorable. So, though Srila Prabhupada was very inflexible in giving the holy name, but he actually wanted to have a rigid system which would make the devotees very accepting the culture of bhakti very strongly, very, very firmly. And therefore, the foundation has to be education. Unless children learn the Vedic scriptures and appreciate them, they will have literally doubts and suspiciousness over what they are learning. With every passing phase of time, there will be new doubts that will be created by the environment, by the media. And the children will think that it is all fruitless, it is all ritualistic, it is all humbug, it is all cheating. So unless there is a proper training and education right from childhood, it will be very difficult for them to accept Krishna consciousness in a very positive stride. And therefore, in fact, what is the outcome of such an education system? People living in such villages like Mattur in Karnataka and Jiri in Madhya Pradesh, these two of these villages, in one village, because they have learned Sanskrit, they have access to so many scriptures in Sanskrit by which they can harness water through a very traditional water harvesting system, by which they can get water throughout the fields, all throughout the year in all of their fields. That means the whole purpose of education was employment or economy. And by learning a Sanskrit language like Sanskrit, they could get an employment by agriculture. Simple means. They are able to feed themselves, they are able to clothe themselves, they are able to have an economy by themselves. And another village, the students who go to the school and learn Sanskrit, they have improved their mathematical and logical skills that practically every home has one software engineer who is working in some software IT firm. And the students who have participated in such a school have said that because of learning Sanskrit, they have become more logical. In fact, the NASA, the National Aerospace Agency in USA, they have concluded that the Sanskrit is the most scientific language for producing algorithms in computers. It is the most preferred language. So therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was, but just imagine, the crime rate is low, the employment is high, there is no community clashes, the whole community is peaceful, they have clean roads, they have everything, available within them, within their own ecosystem. Why? Because they became self-reliant, they became self-satisfied, because they were connected to self-realization. Sanskrit is a means to connect to self-realization through the Vedas. And therefore, unless we have a proper culture of education, we cannot expect an environment of satisfaction. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada was talking to one of his devotees that, not that, in fact, he was telling that in my time, whenever I used to meet one Marwadi gentleman in Calcutta, his children were all not educated. They were educated in, they had a Sanskrit pandit coming and an English teacher. That's all. And so for technology, we can always hire people. But for business people, for business sense, we cannot teach them. We cannot teach them by education. We have to ingrain them by our culture. So therefore, it is also a published report that a economy of a country improves drastically when there is a use of local language. We are talking English here, right? I am talking about this report. A little asynchronous. But anyways, the message is important, right? The message is that jitni hamari matrubhasha mein hum hamare vyavhar karenge, usse aapki arthik vyavastha mein vruddhi hogi. Theek hai? Abhi next point. So, this point is over in local language. Anyways, because Srila Prabhupada's guru wanted, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, that why English was preferred? In fact, Srila Prabhupada's English was not that communicable to the Westerners. When he went to the first time, first 6 months, no one could understand his accent only. What is Swamiji saying? But they could hear his spirit. They could hear his affection. And therefore, language is no barrier, but language can become a good means of convenience. And therefore, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Nimai learnt in Sanskrit, he was able to have debates. He was able to have logical conversations. There is very less scope of prajalpa when you have Sanskrit, because you have no connectivity with the prajalpa environment. You don't have access, even if you want to speak about some Bollywood movies or some news, and then you have to really invent new words in Sanskrit. That takes a little pain, so that rather we discuss Ramayana and all of those things, because it's easier to converse. So prajalpa becomes language becomes a deterrent for prajalpa and gossip. Yet, only relevant things can become a matter of discussion within this environment. And therefore, Prabhupada was saying that technologies we can hire, but we cannot hire culture. And therefore, culture is very important and language is an important part of culture. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada wanted a language of devotion, the environment of service and the culture to actually be the foundation of a spiritual movement. Therefore, Prabhupada has mentioned in this one of the very important purpose of the preface of the Srimad Bhagavatam that this the rectification of this civilization which is misguided can be only through a cultural re-spiritualization of the society. It has not just to be spiritualization. It has to be re-spiritualization culturally. So therefore, our own children, our own kids, when they grow, they have to have a yearning for Sanskrit. Right? And therefore, Prabhupada said, just see, otherwise what will happen? Not that going to the factory. Factory is hell. One of his disciples was there and he said, actually Prabhupada, I work in a steel factory. Put the mold in the cast, hot molten iron, stabilize it, cool it off, hammer, there is so much of smoke. And Prabhupada said, how much break do you get from this? He said, 1 hour lunch break. That's all. What is the recreation? So how much break? 1 hour lunch break. And what do you do after that? After the job and everything? He said, what is the recreation? I used to go to the pub to drink. This is the culture. When the culture goes towards factories, then the factory culture enters into the system. And then the drink and everything else becomes like a normal common phenomenon. Therefore, language determines the foundation of a good culture, culture determines the foundation of a good economy, and good economy determines the foundation for a good, satisfied lifestyle. And therefore, everything is connected, and therefore, when we see and hear about all of these things, then we actually get the proper understanding. Therefore, Nimai Pandit, he defeated Keshav Kashmiri very soundly. Even when there were pandits coming, he defeated soundly in a way that he asked the pandit to glorify Ganga. Even if there are scholars, those times who had pride in them, they could glorify Ganga Devi in choices verses. So when he was describing 100 verses in glorification of Ganga, Nimai Pandit, he pinpointed one shloka and he said that there are 5 faults and there are 5 embellishments. And he pointed out all the 5 faults logically. And he was so stunned, Keshav Kashmiri, that how can an ordinary mortal remember? Because I was speaking in great tempo, I was going very fast. How could he catch that shloka? And that's how, when he was simply amazed and stunned that he could not even reply. In the night, when Goddess Saraswati came and she told that this person that you are actually dealing with, who was you got insulted and defeated, was none but the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then they realized that you must go and surrender to him, but you should not disclose to anyone. And therefore, the pastime tells us a lesson that even if we are a great scholar of Sanskrit, or great knowledgeable person, or greatly fortunate because of receiving some good opportunity, one should not be disrespectful or should not be proud, either of it. So, because of some great qualification, Nimai Pandit very soundly defeated Keshav Kashmiri, just to show that one should not be unnecessarily proud of one's qualifications. And therefore, this goes on, and Nimai actually goes undercover, goes to Bangladesh, then now Bangladesh, that time not Bangladesh, 15th century, 1481, the beginning of the 15th century, about to begin. He actually went and met Tapan Mishra. He was a great inquisitive soul. And he gave him the process of chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra and told him to spread everywhere and later meet him in Varanasi. So Nimai Pandit was planning to take sannyas, and he told him, not now, later. And that's how he had already planned that he had come in this Kali Yuga to be free, to preach and to give the holy name to everyone. So in one way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made a whole plan towards the 50% of his lifespan. He had planned to dedicate the rest 50 in service, exclusively in the service of the Lord, while fulfilling the previous obligations that one would normally fulfill in social life. So there was absolute harmony in terms of social commitments and spiritual development. One should not feel that because of spiritual development I will compromise my social commitments, and because of my social obligations I will sacrifice my spiritual development. There has to be a balance. And therefore Nimai Pandit, exactly at the age of 24, he took sannyas. Before that, actually, when he went to Gaya after his father departed, he went and showed a very important lesson. On the way, he pretended to fall sick, and as he fell sick, there was nothing that could secure him to health or rejuvenate him to normalcy. So he called on for the foot wash of Brahmana's feet, and when he drank that water, he immediately recovered from his fever. Just to show, this is the power of Brahmana's blessings. But Prabhupada writes in the purport, always a disclaimer is there, that you should not just follow the word, you should also follow the spirit. So if there is not a proper Brahmana who does not follow the proper spirit, should not be accepted Brahmana simply by Brahman simply by externalities or superficialities. One must accept a Brahman by qualification and not by superficial presentation. So that is so important that Srila Prabhupada gave in all of his purports. And therefore when we read Srila Prabhupada's books, this is the month of distributing Bhagavad Gita. And rest 11 months are dedicated to study of Bhagavad Gita. And to teach others who have taken Bhagavad Gita. I think so the book distribution marathon continues after December 31st. How? Now that we distributed all those books, we will take one book, which we have since long time. And probably we have spoken it all in the 1 month marathon. We should read this book, open this book and read every day one shloka. Right? We have spoken to so many people. Now that all those slogans should ring in our own mind. And we should think about how we will read one shloka every day. That would mean in 2 years we would have able to read the whole Gita. And probably in the next book marathon we would have told everyone very confidently that I have read shloka of one shloka every day. And this is the meaning of it. So when you say one word that has touched your life through Bhagavad Gita, when you tell others about that touched experience, the person simply accepts the experiential part, what you have gone through. Therefore, the Bhagavad Gita is a very powerful scripture. It is a book not of knowledge, but a book of vyavahar. It is a vyavahar shastra. It doesn't mean that we simply accept as a book of knowledge and a book of presentation. It is a book of experience and a book of interaction. How do we interact with the material energy? How do we interact with the community? How do we interact with the environment? How do we interact with ourselves? How do we interact with the Vaishnavas? How do we interact with the various administrative situations? How do we interact intellectually with people who have philosophical incongruency? So this makes a person take Bhagavad Gita not as simply as an academic affair. We are not just happy having a Bhakti Shastri degree. It is beyond a degree. It means that we should have a meaningful education and not meaningless degrees. We have had so many degrees. Anyways, this time when we read Bhagavad Gita, we should have a complete confidence that we have to read with application. And therefore, the practical of the part of the Bhagavad Gita is character. Therefore, Mahaprabhu or Nimai Pandit, when he was giving his mercy at Srivas Thakur's house, he did not give his mercy to his own mother. And he said that Sachi Mata had committed a mental offense and also had spoken about how Advaita Acharya is a duplicitous person. And therefore, when he said that unless Sachi Mata takes the dust of the feet of Advaita Acharya, she will not obtain my mercy. And therefore, along with pride, there is a caution towards not making offenses to great souls. In fact, not making offenses to anyone. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam says that we should respect and appreciate whoever, at whatever position one is, without making judgments. Because who are we to judge someone? Therefore, Dhruv was judged by Suruchi, and when Dhruv became a great soul, Suruchi did not was absolved of the insult that she made to Dhruv when he was an ignorant child. She got the reaction of the offense committed to a great soul who became self-realized after 6 months. Imagine. That means it's not just offenses against the Vaishnavas, it is offenses against anyone who might become Vaishnava anytime. This life or next life also. So therefore, no offenses to anyone, and therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given the shloka, Trinad api sunichana taror api sahishnuna. We have to tolerate what we cannot accept. Most of the time we have difficulty of accepting other people and therefore we are intolerable. Why this person is like that? And therefore when we become intolerable, we actually create conditions of hatred, envy or insult. So therefore Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was performing Sankirtan at every day at Srivas Thakur's house. And the mood of the chanting, in fact, this is what was important. Every day is to chant, every day and every night. And the mood of the chanting was not to allow disbelievers. That means anyone who was not in that mood of appreciating the holy name and the moods of chanting Hare Krishna as Mahaprabhu was chanting, there was not everyone to be allowed. Even Srivas Thakur's own mother-in-law was not allowed. There was a milk drinking brahmachari who wanted to see the kirtan of Mahaprabhu. He was not allowed, but he requested. So Prabhupada is mentioning that purport. Our policy of an open door chanting has worked. Now the pastime speaks about closed door policy, right? Mahaprabhu's kirtan was a closed door policy. That means anyone who does not have that mood, forget about one is having good qualifications but not having the mood, should not enter the kirtan. But then, this is how Prabhupada is following the footsteps of his own spiritual master. He is saying that our open door policy of inviting people to our temples in congregation chanting has worked. That means people come in the temple and keep the temple door open and let anyone come. I think so. Giriraj Maharaj was speaking of one devotee called a Crazy Peter. Have you heard the story of Crazy Peter? The Crazy Peter was a person where he was a little crazy. When he was crazy in the sense that he would not know what he was doing, and when he came to the temple, he was just coming and having prasad. Right? That's how the definition of devotee said crazy means he's not working hard. He's just having prasad and doing nothing. So devotees complained about him that this person is not doing anything, he's just coming and having prasad and he's just going back without doing anything. So then he was to come inside, and then some other he, after having prasad, he said, let me see how prasad is being made. So he landed up in the kitchen. And then, you know, such people, you may not expect them to work in the kitchen, but he started working in the kitchen like anything, day in, day out. And he became a full-time kitchen assistant. And after some time, he became an expert cook. What to speak of that? After some time, Giriraj Maharaj came to know that this devotee is actually now in Nivrindavan, and he said, this is the same person? I said, I can't believe it. That person actually was Kushakrita Prabhu, who was the master of Sanskrit and Bengali. That means he translated Chaitanya Bhagavat, he translated some of Bengali literatures, and he was many of Prabhupada's untranslated works. He translated in Sanskrit. He was a Sanskrit scholar. He became a Sanskrit scholar. That Crazy Peter became Kushakrita Prabhu. How? Suddenly. So don't think that, you know, I'll go to kitchen tomorrow and then I'll become. Definitely there is a scope. The mood is important. The application is important. So however a person may be unqualified, the compassion of Srila Prabhupada's movement or Mahaprabhu's mission is that when a person applies to the process has to work 100%. So we should be confident of the process. We may not be confident about ourselves. That is good. We are not confident about ourselves. But when we are sure about the process, then we know that even if I am not qualified, if I apply to the process will make me perfect. Therefore, I should not have doubts that why this process is not working. You should know that why I am not working for the process. Probably I am not working as per the process, therefore things are not working for me. It's not nothing wrong with the process, because we think we are perfect, the process is having problem. It is the other way around, the person is having problem, the process is perfect. And therefore, This is the mood in which, in fact, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sri Thakur, when he took initiation, Sri Varshabhanavi, Sri Varshabhanavi Daita Deva, Devi, Daita Das, Varshanavi Devi Daita Das, from Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, he gave him an instruction, never go to the city. Never go to the city like Calcutta. He got initiation in Mayapur. And imagine, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sri Thakur lived and left his body in Calcutta only. Against the will of his spiritual master, so called. Why? Because he said that if I simply be in the village, there will be no one to come to hear me. What to speak of living in the city? He made a mutt which was like a palace. In his mutt, Gaudiya mutt, they had horses, elephants and even camels. Everyone was worried, you know, I was wondering, what is this Bhaktisiddhanta Sri Thakur doing with a camel? He said, camel is such a wonderful animal, it has only placed in position to serve Krishna. It has no other place. Such a nice animal, it should be only for Krishna's service. He had Rolls Royce, sorry, he had huge limousines, large limousines. They used to have all opulences. Sannyasis used to travel only in limousines to preach. Right? That was standard of Gaudiya Mutt. Right? So then people asked, ordinary people used to ask him, criticize him, these sadhus are not supposed to be opulent and living like that. He said, in fact, all the opulence of this world is meant for only sadhus. Why? Because they will engage only in Krishna's service. So he was so confident, so confirmed as to what he was doing. So many people were saying so many things to him. He was telling about a person who actually wanted to do a nirjan bhajan. He said, tell him that if he wants to stay in the, if he cannot stay in the city and preach, then probably his nirjan bhajan is simply a distraction. So somehow or the other, these acharyas, when they do things, it is so difficult to comprehend. Even sometimes 150 years later, limousines at that time. Even right now we see sannyasis in limousines, we think, what is this? Prabhupada said, Rolls Royce is nothing. It should be a golden chariot. Doesn't mean that he was feeling too proud about himself. He was thinking that, I am a servant of Krishna. So Krishna is so great. Therefore, I am accepting on behalf of Krishna, so I should not accept something which is ordinary for Krishna. So humility means to know that I am insignificant part of Krishna, and because, but I represent Krishna anyways, or Guru, then I must represent the complete opulence and the complete glory and the magnanimity of Krishna in such a way that people don't take Krishna lightly. People do not take Krishna cheaply. So if we think that devotees should be living humble, poor, and they should not be having, they should just be always in timidity in the world to show Vaishnav behavior, that is not what Bhaktisiddhanta Sri Thakur, he was a lion guru, he was a Simha guru, he used to make huge roar, he used to create uproar after his roar. That means all people were disturbed around him, that's how a lion disturbs everyone. So he was a Simha guru. And Srila Prabhupada, in a similar strain, he revolutionized the Hare Krishna movement. The Gaudiya Mutt actually had become obsolete, but by not reaching out and adapting. It had become too rigid, it had become too stereotyped, it had become too uncompromising in outreach. It had its strong principles, but it had its own standard way which actually did not allow many people to approach Gaudiya Mutt. He tried a lot. And therefore, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, when he said to his disciples, don't make him president, he will do the needful in due course of time. And therefore, though the mood, though the process is perfect, the mood of application is very critical and should be learned from the life of the Mahajans. And therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, he showed that substance of character of a Vaishnava is the mood of which, by which one can apply the principles of bhakti very dynamically. Bhakti is therefore not static. It is not something very monotonous. It has to be very dynamic and adventurous. because there is constant flow of Krishna, and therefore when there is constant flow of Krishna, one cannot but help make it available to everyone. And in the mood to make everyone available, one actually goes against sometimes the social norm or even the kind of norm which is the parampara. So the mood has to be understood, and therefore Srivas Thakur also, when he was consistently doing this, having bhajan at his home, Gopal Chapal was one who actually felt envious of him. Why is there everything happening in his place only? And he was wondering that Srivas Thakur is gaining popularity. And he therefore created a whole ruckus by putting a Bhavani Mandap, Durga Mandap in front of his home. And that time Bhavani Puja means there was liquor and all of those things. Shakta Puja. That was the kind of thing that was associated with Durga Puja. So then people would try to claim that Srivas Thakur was actually a Shakta and was claiming to be a Vaishnava. Therefore, his claims of being a Shuddha Vaishnava, pure Vaishnava are not true. Just see his disguise of his character and his hypocrisy. He actually worships Chandi, Durga, but actually makes a show of bhakti. So he wanted to create an image conflict. So then, Srivas Thakur, next day when he saw everything, he just came out and what did he do? He didn't find, oh, what people are doing for me, they are trying to conspire against me, who is the person who tried to conspire against me, let me find out, let me make an inquiry. He simply went out and told to all the villagers, hey, see everyone, this is what Srivas Thakur is. He is a Shakta. He is a worshipper of Durga, and I simply make a pretension of doing bhakti. Everyone was shocked. Everyone felt, this person, if he claims that he is saying that he is a Shakta, how can we believe him? Had he come out and defended, actually it is not like that, you know, someone did something like that to me, then probably there will be some doubt or suspicion, they will be discussing something, there will be two sides. We went outside and said, actually I am a Shakta, that's all. So I accept it. So, but Srivas Thakur was not concerned about being accepted by the masses. He was concerned about being accepted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when a devotee is concerned about being accepted by Krishna, doesn't become worried if the society does not accept him. And therefore Srivas Thakur, when he went, he just went and nothing happened to him, but Gopal Chapal got leprosy. And he was so suffering when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and saw him, and he came in front of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, you will never be forgiven because you have offended a Vaishnava. You have offended a Vaishnava by obstructing a Vaishnava's program of spreading Krishna consciousness. So anyone who obstructs, in fact, there are many sinful activities. But of many sinful activities, the person who obstructs a pure devotee in the spreading of Krishna consciousness is the greatest offender. And therefore, there are so many obstacles in life of Srila Prabhupada also. What to speak of that? Srila Bhakti Sanatana Thakur, when he was in his own lifespan, there are people who were trying to murder him. One police inspector came to him and told him that actually I have been paid money to keep quiet while they will murder you. So please take care of your life. He took his surgery without anesthesia to make sure that there is no conspiracy to kill him. This also happens in life of great souls. So we should not worry if something happens to us. Right? This, therefore, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita shows the character of such a devotee. Such a pure devotee. And therefore, Mahaprabhu, what to speak of Srivas Thakur. Later, there was a Brahman who was not allowed to enter the kirtan of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He cursed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu only. Nimai Pandit, that may you lose all the inclination of material opulent life. All the possibilities. And may you not experience the joy of samsara. And Mahaprabhu was so happy to receive this curse as a benediction. And he said, anyone who hears this curse also will be freed from this curse of having to experience the pain of samsara through enjoying the objects of material happiness in this world. And therefore, this is why sometimes even when they receive curses, they are actually benedictions by them, for us. Because they are in a different realm of consciousness, and therefore when they think that iske liye ye bura hona chahiye, wo hamare liye acha hota hai. So we should not worry if our friends, if our relatives, they constantly try to make accusations against us. So therefore, the next pastime is that of Chand Kazi. That's a beautiful pastime. Then there was kirtan happening everywhere. Now when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came from Gaya, he started to experience the power of Sankirtan. So he had it in front of his devotees. But then he tried to also spread in Nadia. And then there were devotees having Sankirtan every day in their homes. But there was the Muslim magistrate Kazi, Chand Kazi, who wanted to obstruct it. And therefore he broke a mridanga, a khol. And thereafter what happened was that when the news came to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said that organize a mass Sankirtan protest. And in that protest, everyone should come out with their khol, with their mridangas, kartals, and everyone should come out and they should bring flame torches. Right? In that sense, the first civil disobedience was staged by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So if you think that Gandhiji was the one who brought non-violence protest, actually it was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who was the originator of it. Janmadi asayataha. Even if you see some movement happening of independence, it was staged long back ago by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And what did he do in that moment? It's very important. Prabhupada writes very important lessons in that pastime. Because these kind of oppositions and obstructions will come in society whenever there is an attempt to bring dharma in the forefront. Therefore, the whole Bhagavad Gita, the essence of Bhagavad Gita is to protect dharma and to fight against adharma. If there is a peace program which can be initiated, it should be. But then when it fails, it means there has to be a program for systematically counteracting adharma. So therefore, Arjun was similar in that condition. He wanted to think that why we should fight, we are Vaishnavas. We should leave the claim. We are not attached. They are attached, let them be attached. But Sri Krishna told him, this is not a question of your attachment or my attachment. It's a question of principle to be established. And therefore, this is how three things are important. As Pechavar Swami Maharaj once mentioned in a very important talk, he said there are three things required to establish dharma. The chariot is required, the rath is required, the sarthi is required, and the rathi is required. The chariot, charioteer, and the warrior. So, the rath represents the sangam, or the sangam of devotees, or sangam of people who stand for dharma. Sanstha, as Prabhupada said, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. He made a society by which everyone can come together and express one common goal. And then we should have a proper guidance from Mahatmas, the Acharyas, and the Vaishnavas, and the Shastras through Krishna, who represents Krishna, the Sant. There will be Sanstha, the Sant, and there should be Arjun, who represents Samaj, the common man. And Prabhupada says that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not go himself. He called all the common people from the street and said, we will together fight this Kazi. So he showed kind of a violent approach, but he went and had a very good negotiation with Chand Kazi. Prabhupada said, the violent approach is not good. Better we solve it with logic and reasoning. But the approach should be there. The protest should be there. Right? But we should also have sound logic and reasoning to counteract the approach. Otherwise, if we simply go with mashal, and then we have no good logic, sound logic and understanding, we'll be defeated even with all the violent upstaging. Therefore, devotees need to be very understanding their own philosophy of Krishna consciousness very strongly. Therefore, when the Jamil was attacked, and he was to be taken by the Yamdutas, when Vishnudutas obstructed them, they asked so many questions to the Yamdutas which they could not answer. And therefore Prabhupada writes in that purport that everyone who is a representative of the Krishna consciousness movement must know the philosophy very well, or they will be embarrassed by people who will ask very perplexing questions. So we should be ready for those things too. And that we should be ready. And therefore Mahaprabhu, when he asked Chankasi, why is that you stop this Harinam? And he said, why is that you, Mahaprabhu? In fact, the first thing he said that, why do you kill the cows? That is how he had to try to counteract him. And he said, is in your religion also you have slaughter of cows, animal sacrifice? Mahaprabhu said, in animal sacrifice, we sacrifice lower animals, or even if the animal has to be sacrificed, it's not like a everyday happening. It is not happening in slaughterhouse. A qualified Brahmana would offer an old cow and would make sure that the old cow is regenerated back to new life. So if your religion approves killing of the bull and the cow, that is a very low class of religion. And therefore he practically said that it is not the highest form of religion where one kills one's own mother and father. And that's how he convinced Chankasi to say that, to accept that the principle of Krishna consciousness or principle of Vedic religion or culture is superior and at the same time logical. So he made it convincing that he should not obstruct the Harinam through proper logic and reasoning. And that's how Prabhupada says that similarly all the atheistic governments are pushing the kind of demonic propaganda. Unless the devotees of Krishna consciousness movement do not come together and organize a cooperative effort to counteract this propaganda, it will be very difficult to push this Krishna consciousness movement. And therefore, if we want to push this Krishna consciousness movement further, we would need spiritual strength ourselves by following our own religion, our own culture. Therefore, the statement is there that in those times, those Hindus were very lax in following their own social customs and religion. And therefore, Kazi was asking, since when are you now becoming very rigid to follow your own culture? Earlier, you were not so enthusiastic. So he realized that, why is that people have come together? They have come together because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu organized them and they are following him. Because in those times of Mughal invasions, the Hindus, they had lost their conviction to practice their own culture. It had become waned. And therefore, anyone who would not practice their own culture nicely was oppressed by the other society, by default. So if there is oppression from someone, that means there is a inherent lack of following in our own, or in a society where there is a lack of following of their own principles. And therefore, Prabhupada mentions in the purport that therefore, anyone who follows Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's orders will get the spiritual strength to counteract this propaganda. And this order is for everywhere. And that's how Chankasi's episode concludes with an order by Chankasi that from here on, all of my descendants will have a standing order that they will never obstruct the Harinam Sankirtan movement. That means they brought the legacy of holy name to be cultivated without obstruction. So there is benefit. There is only benefit actually if we take it very seriously. If you are convinced, and therefore when Prabhupada was talking to his newly initiated sannyasis, he said, how many of you are you convinced that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And no one would raise their hands. Prabhupada said, that is why I am pushing this movement, because I am convinced. And therefore if we have to push this movement, we have to be equally convinced that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That means if a conviction is there, then the strength is there to face all obstacles and actually push the Krishna consciousness movement ahead. Therefore, the pastimes of Mahaprabhu continue in this way, forward and forward. In this way, there is even when Srivas Thakur's son has died, but then the kirtan does not stop. And then Mahaprabhu comes to know that Srivast Thakur's son has died. And why no one has informed me? He says, Srivast Thakur did not want to disturb your ecstasy. That means, for one's personal loss, one does not want to disturb the pleasure of Krishna. We do not go to the Krishna and say that I have a problem. Right? And disturb Krishna's happiness. In fact, Krishna does not get disturbed. But Krishna gets disturbed by the mood that here he has come to solve some material issues, material problems. So he felt so insignificant. I should not be going to Krishna, Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and say that my son has died now. I should not expect a miracle from Mahaprabhu. The miracle was happening every day. Mahaprabhu was every day in his own home. He could have told one favor. Itna aapke liye kiya hai, aap hamare liye thoda sa kuch kar sakte hain. Usually when we do service, we expect some favors in return. Kuch to appreciation hona chahiye. Ki itna sab kuch kiya sacrifice. So the pure devotion service means we keep sacrificing without expecting what favor I will get in return. And therefore Srivast Thakur let the kirtan of the Lord continue ahead. Lord should enjoy. Why should some misery in my home should affect the happiness of the Lord? Therefore, however miserable we are, we should not create misery for others. Why? Because sometimes we feel that if I am miserable, that means I should be brought out of that condition by others, by the sacrifice of others' happiness. But Mahaprabhu, when he saw that my devotee has such a level of sacrifice, Mahaprabhu himself came and awoke the dead son. And he asked him, he said, I have lost the son. The dead son spoke that my term in this body was over, my parents were this in my previous life, and I have obtained this parents in this life, and I have to go in my next life. Why do you want to break my journey? And then when this child spoke this wisdom, everyone was pacified at home, and Mahaprabhu himself performed the final rites. And that's how it is imperative for us to understand the mood of Srivast Thakur. Because there are so many such problems happening within our life. And we think that if these problems get solved nicely, then my bhakti will become enhanced. In fact, bhakti becomes enhanced when we don't go and say, Krishna, help solve my problem. Help me help you achieve your pleasure and make me your instrument of me giving pleasure to you. Then to you, making me first and rid of my misery, and then I serve you. So this is something very unique. And if such an disposition is there, then devotee actually becomes ahaituki apratihata. That means uninterrupted loving service to Krishna. So, thereafter Mahaprabhu is taking sannyas. And in sannyas there is a lot of breaking of hearts of Sachi Mata. But then Mahaprabhu says that I will stay close to Navadvip, by which you can constantly keep getting my news. This is so relevant. Even the Lord has incarnation, He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, yet He has showed His human feelings, has shown His human emotions. So therefore, even though when we become transcendental, we should not lose our human emotions. Right? And therefore, when Arjun lost Abhimanyu, he did not say that, oh, this is the body, Bhagavad Gita chapter 2, Dehinosminitha dehe nayam na jayate mriyate vakata chen nainam chindanti shastrani. Arjun Abhimanyu was not affected by any of that. Nainam chindanti shastrani. Okay, let me forgive Jayadrath. Let me forgive all of those who killed. No, there was some practicality also. The philosophy has to be practical. A philosophy cannot be simply theoretical. So there is some human emotion, but within the human emotion, there is no laxity of spiritual principles. So, this way, Srivast Thakur was, Sachi Mata's feelings were being cared by Mahaprabhu. And then he went to Jagannath Puri. And now then, we find all of his disciples, Sanatan Goswami, Rup Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, all of these disciples. Mahaprabhu laid further his strategy to reach out to the people. he experienced Harinam first, then he shared Harinam very close to his people in Navadvip. Then he decided that this Harinam needs to go further out, and I need to extend myself and take a little higher level of sacrifice. That means in spiritual life there has to be gradations. It cannot be static. We cannot be doing what we are doing when we actually came. Either we should be increasing the quality of it, always we should increase the quality, but also we should increase the quantity of our service. And therefore, one should not think that service is a burden. The very moment when you think that service is a burden, we actually lose the service, even while doing it. Service is our recreation, service is our life. In fact, when Anantacharya, disciple of Sri Paramanacharya, was invited, he was not invited, there is an assembly of devotees in which Sri Paramanacharya asks, who will go to Tirupati to serve? No one there, no association, no one there around. Who will go and serve there? Balaji. No one was ready to leave association of Sri Paramanacharya. But Anantacharya was so much a loving disciple of Sri Paramanacharya, he said, I will go and serve. Lose your association, but serve and be in your association much more than I was in your association physically. So therefore Anantacharya goes alone. And that shows that how following the instructions of the spiritual master is more important than following the or having the personal association of the spiritual master. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada hardly had association with the spiritual master. But whenever he had some time, he had very few times, and then he remembers very few times that he actually met personally. But imagine the kind of instruction he took very seriously became the source of his success. Became his success. Therefore, success in spiritual life depends upon how we take the instructions and take them very seriously in applied form. And therefore, Mahaprabhu's later part of his life was to stay in Jagannath Puri and then to preach personally for 6 years, and the rest of the time he made sure that his disciples were doing the outreach program. There was one intellectual team that was in Vrindavan compiling literatures. Right now we are making courses. Right, we are having courses, so that is one wing. They are doing Nana Shastra Vicharanika Nipuno Sad Dharma Sansthapako, to establish the proper conduct and religion. Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Jeev Goswami, scholars, Gopal Bhatt Goswami, Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, and these were meant to make Vrindavan as a place of pilgrimage, so that people can go and get nourished. Then he actually had from their disciples, Srinivas Acharya and Narottam Das Thakur and Shyamana Pandit, to go out and take the treasure and distribute it all over Bengal and Orissa. And thereafter he had Maharaj Pratap Rudra, who was his disciple, and Sarvam Bhattacharya, to spread Krishna consciousness within the province of Orissa, where he was the king. And he actually went all the way down to south, and then he went all the way under the pretext of meeting Vishwarup. He went all across India. Wherever he went, he just inspired everyone to chant the holy name of Krishna without changing their situation or occupation. So therefore, this is how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spread Krishna consciousness all over Bharat. And therefore, later on he wrote very few shlokas towards the end. He tasted his spiritual ecstasies privately, but he shared his compassionate potencies publicly. And therefore, he spread Krishna consciousness with compassion, but he experienced spiritual happiness with a few. So therefore, we should have in that mood very few people who are actually with us, where we can share personally our joys and happiness of Krishna consciousness, but publicly we must have a proper strategy to approach the conditioned souls. And therefore Mahaprabhu has given this word, Bharat Bhumite Manusha Janma Hoilo Jar Janma Sarthak Karikar Paropkar. This is a mandate given to every Indian, every Bhartiya, that anyone who has been born in India, not just Hare Krishna devotees, he is not told only to Vaishnavas, His mandate is for anyone who is an Indian, anyone who has taken birth in India. They have a great responsibility. Janma sarthak kari. We are not meant to follow the ways of the West and enjoy material happiness. We are meant for living simply and reaching out widely. Because the more we follow the ways of the West and the culture or so-called influence, we cannot say culture, because Gandhiji said that, Western civilization is a good idea. When you say civilization, there is no civilization because there is no family only. Civilization is made up of communities, community is made of family. There is no family, then where is the question of civilization? So therefore, the whole culture of Krishna consciousness has to be analyzed very, very soundly within the principles of the scriptures. And therefore, this mandate given to every Indian, everyone who is born in India, is a very special prerogative of which we have the highest accessibility. We are coming in Gaudiya Sampradaya. He has given to every Indian, but we are coming in his line very specifically through Srila Prabhupada. And imagine in his line there are many other sampradayas within Gaudiya Sampradaya also. But within that sampradaya we have got the special potency of Srila Prabhupada, who has accepted, who has very, very, very aptly grasped the mood of his spiritual master, that is Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And through his disciples, we are also getting a chance. Can you imagine the kind of privilege that we have received? It's a very, very special privilege. But along when you get a special privilege, you get a heavy responsibility also. When you get a nice plate of prasad, that's very nice to enjoy, but we should have the capacity to digest that prasad also. Not that your digestive system is weak, and then you end up having difficulties with the system. So that means we have to have a good system of our sadhana, of our sadachar, or our sangha, that we can do sankirtan very effectively. And therefore Prabhupada mentions in one of the purports of Narad Muni's transformation, then when the boy was doing that dhyan and he was performing that tapasya, when the Lord appeared within his heart and then disappeared, actually it was a means to increase the intensity of his hankering. And in that intensity of hankering, it was an opportunity to increase the service to the Lord. Intensity of hankering can be increased only by rendering intense devotional service. Intensity does not mean that we are very spiritually active, in the sense that, but in the sense that we are very spiritually evolved, but very compassionately insensitive. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, when he saw suffering all around, he wanted devotees to reach out to everyone. In fact, when Srila Prabhupada was his last final days, Prabhupada said, "I have no lamentation." Then he said, "Mujhe koi kuch ichha nahi." His few words were like that. But then he said, "No, I have one lamentation." What was that? "Prabhupada, you didn't complete Srimad Bhagavatam." That was a lamentation. So Prabhupada said, "No. I am one lamentation that I could not establish the Daivi Varnashram system by which everyone can accept Krishna consciousness very easily. That is my lamentation. I gave everything, but I felt this, had I lived more, I would have done this." And Srila Prabhupada wanted that very few Brahmanas were created. Though we need more Brahmanas, but he created a class of Brahmanas. Now he wanted Kshatriyas, he wanted Vaishyas, he wanted farmers, he wanted the common people in the villages to accept Krishna consciousness widely. He established city centers, but he wanted village centers also. Therefore, he had very few farm communities where devotees were staying, but nearly wanted village communities to accept Krishna consciousness. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada has given us the mandate which he got from his spiritual master. His spiritual master gave, like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's spiritual master gave, that don't live in the city. He went in the city. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj said, "Go in the western countries." Prabhupada went to the western countries, came back to India, and preached in India. He said, "I want to establish Daivi Varnashram system." So every acharya has one's own offering apart from what he has offered to Krishna or from his guru. The order plus one's own preference. Like, okay, when you go to a group, okay, you like this, na? Okay, I will take it, but I will also order what I like. That is variety in Krishna consciousness, and therefore Prabhupada also said that I want to offer my part, and this is what I want to offer to my spiritual master, my parampara. So therefore in bhakti we have got order and we also have our personal preference that is in line with the principles of bhakti. So we should not just be satisfied by receiving order, we should do something more than what was ordered. And therefore that is where Mahaprabhu, his disciples were actually expert in spreading the compassion in a very systematic way. And therefore when he met three of his disciples, Mahaprabhu, in Shrikhanda, Saravabhattacharya's house, he met Raghunandan Thakur, Mukunda Sarkar and Narahari Sarkar. He told all of them three different things. He said to Mukunda Sarkar, was a very nice devotee, he was a physician. He told him, now you should simply spend your life earning material and spiritual wealth. For Raghunandan Thakur, he said, you must simply dedicate your life to serve Lord Krishna directly. That is by serving the deities. And he told Narahari Sarkar that you must spend your time staying here with the devotees and spreading Krishna consciousness and do Sankirtan here. So for three devotees, he gave three different instructions. That means for every devotee there is something what is preferable and acceptable in that way. So therefore this is how Mahaprabhu spread his Krishna consciousness movement. He wanted his disciples, his followers to do something uniquely in that regard. The spiritual strength will come when you follow the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prithiviti Achyata Nagaradi Gram. Nagaradi Gram. The Nagar was covered by Srila Prabhupada. The Gram is left to his disciples and his grand disciples. So therefore, this is the special privilege within Srila Prabhupada's movement also. That Gram is available mostly in India only. There are 6.6 lakh villages in India. That means there are 6.6 lakh devotees required. Right? To deliver one village. But we are 2000, so we can start with 2000. At least that much we can offer to Srila Prabhupada. So that is something what will mitigate Srila Prabhupada's lamentation. Along with the Nagar we can add Gram. Because Mahaprabhu said Nagaradi Gram. As city life becomes more complicated and becomes more implicating, Prabhupada actually wanted devotees to shift to adapt a simple lifestyle by which Krishna in the center becomes very natural and normal. Right now to keep Krishna in the center becomes so difficult with the current economic scenario. And therefore, if we can actually make the language, the culture, the economy and then the spirituality to develop in a very organic way. Not just the food that we eat should be organic, the language that we speak also should be organic and the vyavahar should be organic from Gita also. And the compassion should be like Srila Prabhupada's and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's compassion. So when that spiritual strength comes to do all of these things, then to spread Krishna consciousness is simply a matter of grace. We should be praying for Krishna's grace as how this can be done. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada tried a lot in India. Indians were not taking it seriously. So he took the order to the West. He converted, he impressed the people in the West by Krishna's grace and then he brought them back to India. He branded bhakti as ISKCON. Right? In India, people not taking bhakti. So he said, okay, now ISKCON has come. What is ISKCON? International society. Oh, these white people are dancing. These white people are accepting. Therefore, this bhakti must be good. As Indians are always enslaved by the colonial mindset. Anything that has come from London, from America, from China, from Taiwan is better than what is made in India. So Gita made in India, Ramayana in India, than bhakti in India. But if you brand it coming from outside, then that Indian thing also becomes very valuable. So Prabhupada knew this. This is the mentality of Indians. So if you want Indians to take what India has, then take it outside, brand it, make it more valuable, then import back in India. Then you get more value. So the British did the same thing in India. Now the Indians need to do the same thing what Prabhupada did. Take Gita, take your Vastu, take astrology, take everything that we can do, brand it nicely, make it popular, then say it has come from USA. Then people, oh really, it's come from USA? Oh, it's come from India? It must not be professional. So this is how Prabhupada did. He took the bhakti and branded at ISKCON. Everyone took seriously. The same Gita he brought here, the same Hare Krishna when he was telling here, no one was chanting. When the Westerners chanted Hare Krishna, oh, now we'll also chant. He had food, which was prasadam, he was giving prasadam. But now if you open a restaurant and give the same prasadam, people buy and eat. See, the same food is there. There was annachatram in temples. Prabhupada said, open a restaurant. People will come in a dignified way. Right? So he took bhakti as ISKCON, took mantra as Hare Krishna, took food as Govindas. He took Jagannath ji from Jagannath Puri and made him famous all over the world. He branded Rath Yatra. Right? Another big thing. Right? Prabhupada did. Imagine how much innovation Prabhupada did to spread Krishna consciousness. Right? He did it in his times. Non-conservative. Got criticized by his godbrothers. Got sharply criticized by the Brahmanas of India. Everyone criticized Prabhupada. But Prabhupada, the camel caravan passes when the dogs are barking. So Prabhupada kept on going and going. And that's how ISKCON became a household word. People know ISKCON, know everywhere. Wherever we go, ISKCON is a very good organization. We did nothing. Prabhupada did everything. And now we are getting the benefits of what Prabhupada did. So what we do, the next generation of ISKCON must say that, oh, our predecessors did something very nice, therefore we have got good credibility. Otherwise, whatever has been earned by the grandfather, the grandsons or granddaughters should not simply waste it without investing again. Not use it without investing. We should make sure that grandfather's inheritance is being invested, reinvested, doubled, tripled, quadrupled, 10 times expanded. That is how a businessman thinks. So this is how one should expand with this mood of the business of compassion. And therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told to Sarva Bhattacharyan Vidyavachaspati that Krishna is manifest in Kali Yuga in two forms, in wood and water. The wood form is represented by Lord Jagannath, and water form is represented by the Ganges, the Ganga. Therefore, he told Sarva Bhattacharya to worship Lord Jagannath, and he told Vidyavachaspati to worship Mother Ganga. So that is how he spread, and he told to Nityananda Prabhu to go and preach to all the people, and through knowledge, through devotion and compassion, he spread bhakti systematically all over the Bharatvarsha. So knowledge was spread by the six Goswamis, the devotion was spread by Haridas Thakur's Akhand Harinam, compassionate chanting, and the compassion of preaching was spread by Nityananda Prabhu. And therefore Vasudeva Dutt and Shivananda Sen all were assistants in Mahaprabhu's. This is a branch of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had the trunk, and in fact the root and the branches were so many of these wonderful devotees. And therefore this is also what we must take it forward, as how Mahaprabhu Nimai Pandit, his life from childhood to youth to taking responsibility in social life, family life, then renouncing it for a higher cause, systematically spreading it. The life of Mahaprabhu is simply an inspiration for all of us to follow the footsteps of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by following the life of Mahajans like Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur and Srila Prabhupada and the other wonderful disciples of Srila Prabhupada. So therefore this is a very great honor and privilege. we along with that have a great responsibility, and along with that we'll have to have a lot of hard work. And that all combines to become successful when the grace comes. Till then we must simply keep applying and endeavoring. And therefore this is a very nice opportunity for all of us to take our own contribution apart from what order we have got. We should follow the order and we should do something extra. Ye mere taraf se. Right? So if you have got some target, don't be happy if you reach the target. After you finish the target, you said that now my target begins. My personal target. So everyone should have your own personal target for offering to Srila Prabhupada. How will I reinvest again? How will I double what I have received? Invest and thereafter double and thereafter quadruple and leave enough for the rest next generation to become absorbed in Krishna prema. That is what Mahaprabhu's compassion movement will survive if we have very honest integrity and we have great capacity for spreading Srila Prabhupada's compassionate movement. Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki, Kali Pavan Harinam Sankirtan Yagya ki. Thank you very much.